Hello, everyone, and welcome to another installment of OEM TV. My name is Kevin Remde, and I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft, and I am your humble OEM TV host today. Now, in these sessions, I've had the pleasure to talk with today's guest several times on various aspects of various devices of computing. One topic we haven't really had the opportunity to discuss in any length is what features and capabilities are most important to business, for the business PC. So my special guest today is, of course, Marlo Daly. He is Microsoft's senior partner and marketing manager and worldwide OEM hardware marketing lead. And he's just the guy to help us determine what makes a good business computing device. Marlo, it's great to be talking to you again.
Hey, it's wonderful to talk to you too, Kevin. Always fun.
All right. For those who haven't yet had the pleasure of seeing you in one of these videos, why don't you quickly tell us a little bit more detail about who you are and what you do at Microsoft?
Great. Yeah, Kevin, my name is Marlo, as you mentioned. I work with businesses as well as our partners to find the best devices to match our partners' needs. So I also work with all of our OEM partners. So Dell, HP, Lenovo, Toshiba, you name it. I look across their entire portfolio and understand all the different devices that they offer, whether it's business, a consumer, specialty devices, and then I can help businesses find that perfect device just for them.
And that leads right into the first question. What are businesses really looking for in a computing device?
Well, you know, most businesses, they're not looking at specs. I mean, they may say, oh yeah, I need this spec type of device, but generally they're looking for things like security. I mean, security is a huge need for businesses. They want to make sure the device they buy can keep their information secure. They're looking for devices that help make you more productive. They're also looking for devices that let you connect wherever you're at. So these are the kind of the business needs that businesses have when they're buying a PC. They're not saying, well, I need a device that has a great camera and it has got Intel Atom-based chip or anything like that. Those aren't the questions they're asking. One of the key things that is prevalent today, and you may have read in the news, is security. So businesses are really concerned about their information being secure on their device. So that's one of the most important things. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I guess I'm curious, though, how maybe some of the ways that devices could help businesses be more secure.
Well, a lot of new innovations in the devices themselves are making it easier for businesses as well as anyone to keep their information secure. For example, if you think about the device, not talking about all the things that Windows does with that, getting a fingerprint reader or the new face unlock, the Windows Hello, makes that device inherently more secure because you're not typing your password as often. So if you think about that just as one aspect of security, it's a really, and we can explore that later. Another really great thing is called a TPM chip. Trusted platform module. That means when I put information, anything that goes, whether it's my keystrokes or the information that I'm putting onto my hard drive, it gets processed and encrypted. So if I were to lose my computer and some bad guy came and picked it up and tried to get information off, all they would see is a bunch of gobbledygook on my hard drive. So those are two quick hardware solutions, two types of hardware solutions that are making my device more secure.
Yeah, it's definitely a good idea for businesses when they're buying PCs to make sure. And I think it's actually kind of hard to not find a TPM chip these days. They've become so well respected and so important for business. I mean, I know that things like BitLocker on a device, drive encryption, is supported by and really possible in a much easier sense supported by hardware through the TPM. Is that correct?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, a lot of the features and functionality, if you want the best type of encryption and the best type of security on your device, you want a TPM chip. But, you know, a lot of people never turn it on and never use this. They don't realize with Windows 10, BitLocker can be pretty much on any device you want, but you've got to turn it on. Also, some of the encryption capabilities, rather than have your hard drive do it, because there's a component in your hard, you know, when you put information into your device, if you have the TPM chip do the encryption, there's a layer that is not going to be hacked. Because if you put stuff into your device, let's say it's coming from the network or anything, and your main processor is processing that in memory, somebody who's peeking at your memory with their hacking tools is going to go, oh, I see that information before it gets on your hard drive. So having a TPM chip activated and doing that work for you really makes your device more secure.
Okay, good, good. Nice description there. And thanks for helping us understand that a little bit better. So now let's talk about biometrics. I know that hardware is coming today with, as you mentioned, the Windows Hello, the camera being able to recognize me and log me in based on my face. Fingerprint readers have been around for a while, but, you know, they've greatly improved in terms of their accuracy and their less false positives, I guess, one way to say it. So what are the main benefits? I mean, other than that it's really cool. What are some of the benefits for business with regard to biometric authentication?
So one of the big challenges and weaknesses for businesses is not actually the devices, it's the passwords. So how many passwords do you have, Kevin? Probably, you know, I don't know, 50, 60?
Yeah, probably somewhere in there.
You have a lot of places that you actually put your password on a device. Mm-hmm. And if someone were to somehow, you know, look at any of your websites that you frequent and you have an account with, and not all of them are super secure. Sometimes websites store your information, your passwords, it's just, you know, text files, which is mm-hmm. appalling. And I mean, I work with a lot of companies and I've seen at various, you know, things that scare me when I go, wow, you're just putting my password just there in a little text file. If somebody snags it up, they go, oh, Elmo123, that's mm-hmm. not my password, by the way. but the fact, that's one thing. The other fact is people don't make their passwords hard enough. They just don't. You look at the weaknesses. You've seen study after study after study about people saying, well, you know, I put my password in. But like at Microsoft, we're required to change our password constantly. Mm-hmm. And so people have patterns and they put different things, but trying to remember it. And then you just look at their desk. How many desks have you walked by? And you see a little post-it note with their current password written on it. It's like, this doesn't keep me safe at all. So,
right. Well, my poor dog has to learn a new name every 3 months. It's terrible.
But, you know, that's an interesting thing because that password is the weakest link between your data security. So the first thing that these biometric things let you do is they reduce that exposure for a business. So if I'm logging in with my fingerprint or my thumbprint, that means I'm not typing my password and somebody's not looking at my password. And Windows 10 now allows you to put it right on. Mm-hmm. Another aspect, so that's kind of eliminating that typing the password in and remembering that password. You remember it once, and then this unlocks the device, so your device itself being safe. Another thing is it enables two-factor authentication. Now, two-factor, that's a fancy way. I'm going to try to explain things as simple as possible. So I'm not going to get too deep in the tech, but two-factor authentication says I have to have me in person as well with something that's uniquely mine, as well as putting a password in. So you may have seen this happen. It's happening more and more frequently. You log in to a new site or an email site or something, and they say, well, I'm going to text you a number. I don't recognize the device you're on, and so I'm going to make sure it's really you, and they'll text you something, or they'll send you an email to another account that they think you're supposed to have access to. And that's because they're saying, like with my phone, they're saying, I'm going to send you a message with a code on it, assuming that you have your phone, to validate that it really is you. It's not just somebody who's grabbed your password. So those are two mm-hmm. factors, your password and something that means it's you. These biometric things can add that additional capability. So you type your password in, and then it says, I'm going to make sure it's you because nobody's going to, you know, unless somebody cuts off my finger, that's gross, or they can't take a picture of my face. They actually have to have my face there for the IR camera, the Windows Hello. Mm-hmm. Windows Hello looks at a 3D image of your face and maps your face out in three dimensions with IR cameras, so it looks at your heat to make sure you're really alive, and creates this face print like your fingerprint. And these are two things that are uniquely you that can help validate, give you a second form of this is really you. It's not just somebody on your computer typing your password.
No, we could. It's almost kind of like you have a something that's now uniquely yours that has been verified and can be trusted, sort of like a passport. And that brings me to my next question, because I think one of the mechanisms that makes this all happen is something called Microsoft Passport. What does that do for us on our PCs?
So the easiest way to explain Microsoft Passport is, I mean, assume it's like a passport that has all of your passwords and various really strong passwords, mm-hmm. very really strong encryptions, so that when you would go to a website or go to any application that says, I need your password, rather than you typing in a password, really complex, what is my mother's name, and concat that with, you know, three or four different numbers and a special number, it'll give you it'll actually have a very strong, hard to decipher password that it generates. But I basically unlock that passport with my fingerprint or my face print or even a PIN number right there. So because I'm physically on that device and it registered, it knows it's me, when I swipe my fingerprint or I say, hey, this is really me, and it looks at my face, it unlocks that and then hands over, without me even knowing what that password is, that password to the third-party site. When the third-party site goes, oh, yeah, this is really you, and then says, okay, you're good to go.
Or first-party sites. I mean, it seems like the businesses would be just thrilled to have the ability to know that it's not just somebody coming with a name and a password that could be anybody, but now I've got this thing that has been absolutely trusted and verified. This is that person. This was their face. This was their fingerprint. This was their PIN on that particular device, not just any device, but a trusted device that's already known in order to gain access. So that's awesome.
That's exactly right. So yeah. you can understand really quickly how this makes, of course, it's not foolproof, but this makes it much more secure, your interaction with the device. It's not somebody in the Slobania Republic is not going to hack your account and say, oh, yes, this is me, and get your information, because they have
they're going to try, but you're going to get a phone call because somebody's trying to verify that it's you, right?
With a two-factor authentication, you're getting a phone call, you're going to get a text number, or, you know, if it's on your device, they're not going to be able to get into that information at all, because you have to physically have a device there to open it up, unless you go through a more complex validation process.
So let's talk about devices and protection of the devices. I mean, this is a great passport security authentication and so on. But in the context of the device itself, you know, there's people that have been impacted by vulnerabilities in a device that were compromised, and devices that then get infected, and these infections even go as deep as to launch and continue to be in or on the hard disk, booting up before the operating system ever has a chance to come up. Drivers that may be compromised is the word I'm looking for. What do we do about protecting our device?
Oh, there's a lot of really great innovations that Windows, with the new set of devices that are coming out now, have together, they create a much stronger barrier. The first one is UEFI. You may remember a while ago, you would turn on your computer, maybe if you have an old computer, you're still doing this now, but and it would go, oh, your BIOS is loading. Well, now they've got UEFI, which basically bridges that area between the time you turn on your computer until it starts running the operating system, and make sure that there's nothing actually running in between. So that's what, if you've heard UEFI, what does that mean? What is that doing? It's really kind of closing that gap. There are other things that Windows 10, especially for enterprise, will do. Let's say I'm a business, and I want to make sure that my employees don't put anything they shouldn't on their device. There's a thing called a device guard. I work with the manufacturer of the device, so when it originally ships out to me, there are keys and things that stop anybody from putting anything that's not on my whitelist. Usually you think of businesses, they'll say, please don't download these bad apps. And you've got things that will, even for a consumer, you know, you'll go to a website and you'll get, well, warning. Oh, well, this is bad. Will Robinson, warning. And they go, no, I won't go there. But a device guard says, these are the only apps, and they're registered, I mean, they're really qualified, that I'm going to let you put on your device. And if it's not one of those apps, they just won't put it on. And the company has validated that these are okay to run, these are the ones that they're good with, and they don't have malware. And they have to be signed. So, you know, you're talking really strong, because again, the weakness is not in just people installing apps. It's the person themselves who says, oh, this looks like a fun one. Oh, I want to put this app, or oh, this is a cute little card I'm downloading. And it runs an executable and then hops on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, it's very much like AppLocker. In fact, I think it uses some of that technology from AppLocker in previous versions of Windows. But like you say, a whitelist, you know which apps you can trust. You don't know what apps you can't trust. It's much easier to define the list that you're going to allow in terms of the devices now, as well as applications that are going to be allowed to run on that device. So it's great.
That's true. There's another cool feature. It's called Credential Guard. And okay, I'm going to get a little techie here, not too techie. When you log on to your work site, you know, log in, Marlo, And what you've got is you've got this certificate usually floating in your memory that every time you go to another place in your work network or in your secure network, it says, oh, yeah, this is really Marlo. This is still Marlo, and he's here. And in the past, that's always kind of been in just in your memory. Mm-hmm. So if someone, for whatever reason, were able to access your computer or look at your you know, the memory, and they're really smart, this is a hack, they've gone in and they can say, well, I'm going to pull that information, that credential that is validating to every place I go in my work network, I'm going to pull that off and I'm going to hold on to that. And then I'm going to put it on my device, and then I'm going to go to that trusted business area and I'm going to say, this is Marlo on my device. And it's a complex hack, but we've seen it become more prevalent.
Yeah.
And there's a new thing called Credential Guard, which uses your TPM chip in most cases. You know, it can do it without it, but it's most secure if you've got a TPM chip. And it locks those credentials so that if someone were to see any of these credentials going back and forth, they would be encrypted. You need two sides. You need a public key, a private key. It says, oh, I'm going to unlock it. But it basically locks up those credentials and encrypts them so that you're not, your identity, you're saying, hey, I'm good to go, is not floating around in your computer's access, in your computer's memory. It's actually stored away in encrypted format so that if somebody grabbed it, they wouldn't have your specific key on that device, which is, again, it's another raising the bar for security.
Yeah, absolutely. As I understand it, because I've actually seen these tools. I've seen the tool that's just run from a command line and throws out the objects that represent the cached credentials in the security authority that's in Windows and in memory. And once you have this credential guard, those tools don't work. You the requests to get those credentials are blocked, and in fact, that whole engine is virtualized in a way that doesn't allow that kind of access. So it's really very great. And that actually, that same virtualization technology is what's also can protect the device guard functionality too. So no one can actually go in there and compromise that device guard process. So it's magical stuff, but it's great. And it's super, super great for business with regard to security. So,
And you know, the interesting thing, we were talking about all these security things, and this is a tech audience we're talking about. But, you know, the security threats today are much, much greater than they were just a few years ago. We're not talking about script kiddies that are like, oh, look, I found this fun thing. Let me try it out, see if it works. We're talking about people whose job is to break into your computer. Mm-hmm. They're really smart guys and girls, and they're looking to find some way to really attack your device. So we need to be much more vigilant in protecting our information, no matter whether you're a small business or a big business. And the cool thing is, with devices and Windows 10, the tools that we have on the good guy side, woohoo, are much more powerful. Nothing is ever foolproof, but much more powerful.
Yeah, we'll never tell you that we can completely secure you, because the only way we can completely secure you is to have you turn your PC off and lock it in a closet somewhere. So we've covered some of the aspects around protecting credentials and protecting devices, protecting identities with regard to some of the new capabilities of multi-factor authentication and so on. Let's talk about the data itself, because of course businesses are managing information, and businesses have employees who, like it or not, are flawed in some way sometimes. And whether intentionally or not, data goes outside the company boundaries or outside the hands of the people that should be protecting that information, the corporate data, the customer data, the confidential and proprietary information. So businesses are very, you know, very interested in this whole area of data loss prevention. What does Windows 10 and what do devices that run Windows 10 have to help support that kind of protection of data?
It's a great question, because Windows 10 with the new devices has a new capability called Enterprise Data Protection. Now, let me explain this again. Imagine I'm Marlo Daly, and I'm sitting at home, and instead of using my work authorized computer, the special one with all the cool protections that my business has set up, I've just got my regular PC. It's my home PC, because, you know, I'm on the road a lot, and sometimes I'm going to use my home PC to get access to business information. We find that happening all the time. It's bring your own device kind of philosophy, and that happens with most businesses. People do not say, this is only my business PC and this is my personal PC, and I'm never going to do any personal stuff on one, I'm never going to have any business stuff on the other. So finding ways to allow you as a business to control your business sensitive information, if someone's accessing it on their personal PC. That's where enterprise data protection comes into play. So business can say, okay, if this is business information, I'm going to go ahead and let you put that on your private personal PC. That's great. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to surround that with a wrapper so that any of my business information that you copy down, that you put on your personal PC, is going to be controlled by me as the business. And that way, if, for example, I lose my personal PC, which isn't really controlled by my business, the business can go bloop and make sure that no one has access to it. First of all, that information that the business is business related has been encrypted using great TPM chips and other encryption forms of encryption. The second thing is, let's say I decide to leave the company. One of your employees leaves the company. You can say, oh, great, all that business information, the files, the business related files, the emails, I can remotely wipe that from the business headquarters and just say, you know what, this is now no longer any good. It's gone. It can't be used by my employee. They can't steal information easily because I've basically secured this with enterprise data protection. It's a really nice way. You know this is normal processes because businesses want to be able to have information in the hands of their employees whenever they need it. Mm-hmm. Having a device that's managed by the consumer, but also parts of that device, whether it's emails, data files, private information, can be secured by the business to protect its needs as well.
Yeah, yeah. And there's aspects of that that, of course, are a little more detailed than we would have time to cover today. But, I mean, the ability for a person to take their personal device and register it, essentially, with the company to say, I want to use company applications and I want to get company data. I want to, you know, get my email profile set up so that I can actually get my email. And, interestingly, maybe the first email that person gets on their device is, when they try to set up that email profile, hey, you're not registered yet. You can't get your email yet. You got to first go through this step and agree to some things and policies around passwords and complexity of passwords and so on, locking a machine when it's not been used for a certain amount of time, things like that. But the beauty of that is I could be using a business application. I could be maybe a managed application such as Word, for example. I copy some text to the clipboard and I'm going to paste it into some other managed application. It works great. I try to paste it in or accidentally, forgetting what I had in the clipboard, paste it into Twitter, and instead of it going to the whole world, company confidential information, the operating system says, whoa, that's company information here. You can't do that. Are you sure you want to do that? Or maybe it simply audits and logs it, but there's a lot of different options there. But that's magical stuff. And I think we should probably also mention, too, enterprise data protection in that form in Windows 10 is actually yet to come. I don't know if it's in preview yet, so if it's in the preview builds right now in the fast ring, but that's coming in the next release sometime this summer.
Yeah, we've definitely announced that this capability is on the way. And it's really exciting. I mean, you talked about the fact that how much information is released accidentally. People not trying to be malicious, or they accidentally copy a file or put some stuff that they thought was okay, that's really not okay. And giving businesses and companies that ability to say, no, this is our private information. And if you were going to put it anywhere, we're going to first log it. We'll know you're doing it. Or we can actually just stop you from doing it. It's really cool.
Yeah,
it's never going to stop someone from taking their device, going to a copy machine, putting it on. But it stops the inadvertent, the casual, the oops, I made a mistake, which I think most of the leaks we have is because people do really things that they're not protected from their own accidental mistakes.
Mm-hmm. So enterprise data protection, definitely look into it if you haven't heard about it. This is the first you're hearing about it. Please study up on it because you're going to want to know more about it for sure. So, Marlo, before we wrap up here, do we have any resources we want to point our viewers to?
Yes, I'd say right down here. I'll put it right in the little link down below. Look at these different websites. That's the easiest way to do it. And you can find lots of good information. We've got some blogs on the site. You can get a ton of great information. Deep dive if you want to understand more about any of the security features. Lots and lots of devices have that. If you know when you're, again, when I'm going to turn on my device hat again, if you're looking for a new device, look at for TPM chips, and those are pretty easy to find. Mm-hmm. Also look for the IR cameras and look for the fingerprint or the thumbprint readers on many of your new devices.
So if it supports Windows Hello for the face login or for the fingerprint, that's a good thing to look for too. Yeah, for sure.
That's it.
All right. And we got some great course security resources at Microsoft too. Microsoft.com/security for our safety and security center, as well as the Cyber Trust blog. If you just go to aka.ms/security. Marlo, again, always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. We'll see you all again soon for another episode of OEM TV.